Good evening, it is 5pm and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. To start us off this evening, we're going to dive right into some messages directly from the City of Kingston. First off, City of Kingston welcomes new and returning students, announces UDSI traffic and parking changes during move-in weekend. The City of Kingston would like to welcome new and returning post-secondary students to the community and wishes all students, faculty, and staff a safe and successful 2025-26 academic year. Good neighbors make for stronger, safer neighborhoods. Whether you're living in an on-campus residence or in the neighborhood surrounding your school, you are a valued member of the Kingston community, sharing in the privilege and responsibility of being a good neighbor. The city created the Good Neighbor Guide to provide community members with a better understanding of how the City of Kingston operates, the services and opportunities available, and how residents can build a foundation of trust and respect in their neighborhoods. The University District Safety Initiative is in effect as of August 28th to September 6th. Students and neighbors are reminded that the University District Safety Initiative will be in effect from Thursday, August 28th at 11:59 p.m. until Sunday, September 7th at 11:59 a.m. The purpose of the UDSI is to educate community members and to mitigate risks of large, unsanctioned gatherings, including strains on emergency services. During this time, community partners, including city bylaw enforcement officers and Kingston Police, will have an increased presence in the University District. Bylaw enforcement officers can also require people to pay administrative monetary penalties for contraventions of the nuisance party bylaw, the noise bylaw, and other bylaws. As part of the UDSI, the city will close Gord Edgar Downey Pier and Breakwater Park Beach to the public nightly from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Thursday, August 28th to Monday, September 8th. The decision to close the park during this time is to ensure the safety of community members in the University District, as large unsanctioned gatherings in the area pose a major safety risk, particularly at night. Parking restrictions and traffic control during move-in. Student move-in at Queen's begins in the evening on Friday, August 29th, and goes until Saturday, August 30th at 5 p.m. To keep traffic moving during student move-in, some area roads will have parking restrictions, and some will be designated as one-way traffic. You can check the city's website for these changes. Once again, that was a message directly from the City of Kingston regarding move-in weekend this weekend and the University District Safety Initiative, which will be in effect this Thursday. In another message from the city, City of Kingston adjusts parking fines to support accessibility and sustainability. The City of Kingston is implementing updates to parking fines effective September 1st, 2025, to support accessibility, encourage compliance, and maintain a self-funded parking system. These changes were approved by Council on February 18th, 2025. As for accessible parking, a fine for unauthorized use is increased from $300 to $400. Hourly parking rate is reduced from $150 to $1 earlier in 2025. General parking fines, parking at an expired meter, $25 early payment and $30 for regular. Failure to pay and display receipt, $30 early payment, $35 for regular. Parking in a meter zone in excess of posted time limit, $30 for early payment and $35 for regular payment. You can find the full details on the city's website. Kyle Compo, Director of Licensing and Enforcement Services, says, quote, "By lowering costs for those who need accessible parking and increasing fines for violations, we're making our parking system fairer, more sustainable, and easier to navigate for everyone," end quote. These adjustments bring the city's fines in line with those of many other Ontario municipalities and help cover rising enforcement and infrastructure costs. The city's parking system is self-sustaining, with revenues reinvesting into maintenance upgrades and future improvements. Once again, that was a message directly from the City of Kingston on changes in parking. Bath Road will be closed to motorists and pedestrians between Centennial Drive and Portsmouth Avenue from 6 a.m. on Tuesday, August 26th until 6 a.m. on Saturday, August 30th. The closure is required for CN Railway to complete repair work on the Bath Road rail crossing safely and as quickly as possible. Local access will be open to residents and businesses at Armstrong and Queen Mary Roads, with no other vehicle or pedestrian traffic beyond those locations. Detours for motorists and Kingston Transit will be in place during this time. Express 701 and 702 and Route 11 will follow temporary detours via Centennial, Taylor Kidd, Princess, and Portsmouth. Some stops on Bath, Armstrong, and Kingsdale will be out of service. Riders can board at temporary stops or use alternate routes. Delays are expected. Subscribe to transit alerts for up-to-date information. The city thanks all affected residents, businesses, pedestrians, motorists, and transit passengers for their patience and understanding during the temporary road closure. Artillery Park Aquatic Center to close for annual maintenance. The City of Kingston's Artillery Park Aquatic Center will be closed from Tuesday, September 2nd to Sunday, September 14th for annual maintenance. This closure will allow staff to conduct minor repairs, perform a deep cleaning of the facility, and complete any fitness equipment and pool maintenance activities. During the shutdown, the pools, gym, fitness center, and meeting rooms will be closed to the public. The front desk area will only be open on September 4th and 5th from 8 a.m. to 3:45 p.m., during which time staff will be available to process aquatic program registration. During this time, single facility APAC pass holders and FIT pass holders can access alternative facilities. For single facility APAC pass holders, pool pass, access Culligan Water Park, gym pass, access Invista Center or Kingston East Community Center fitness centers. For FIT pass holders, access the Culligan Water Park, Invista Center and KECC fitness centers. Programs and schedules at all city recreation facilities can be found through their recreation portal. For additional information or assistance, you can call 613-546-0000. Kingston Health Sciences Center is officially the first hospital in Canada to implement a groundbreaking artificial intelligence tool used to diagnose coronary artery disease. Coronary artery disease is the most common form of cardiovascular disease and the leading cause of death worldwide. It occurs when the coronary arteries become narrowed or blocked, reducing blood flow to the heart. Thanks to a $100,000 donation from local donor Steven Sorensen, KHSC has introduced HeartFlow, a revolutionary AI-based technology that's transforming cardiac care. HeartFlow enables radiologists and cardiologists to measure blood flow through a patient's coronary arteries using a non-invasive CT scan. Dr. Omar Islam, head of diagnostic radiology at KHSC, explained what the diagnostic process for coronary artery disease has looked like until now.
Patients with stable chest pain typically undergo a CT scan of their heart to look at the coronary arteries, which are the blood vessels that supply oxygen and glucose to the heart muscle. And a narrowing of those blood vessels, especially severe narrowing of those blood vessels, can be significant and may be a precursor to that patient having a heart attack in the future. So those patients are typically triaged by a coronary CT angiogram to look at those blood vessels, and it's dye that's injected into the veins, and we get a 3D map of the blood vessels. So that's how it's done. And then those patients, if they have severe narrowing on the coronary CTA, are referred potentially on to the cath lab, so the angio suite, so undergo a minor surgical procedure where that narrowing is confirmed. And if the narrowing is confirmed, then a blood flow analysis is performed, looking at the reduction in blood flow through those vessels. And reduction in blood flow is actually the most important determinant of the risk of having a heart attack. So if the blood flow is reduced, that means there's reduced delivery of oxygen and glucose to the heart muscle, and then that patient is at risk for a heart attack. So it's not really the narrowing that's most important, it's the reduction in blood flow. So we cannot assess in a typical situation the blood flow on CT, we can only assess the narrowing of the blood vessel, and so those patients typically have to be sent to the cath lab for the minor surgical procedure to look at blood flow.
Now, using the AI capabilities of HeartFlow, physicians can measure blood flow directly from a CT scan. If the flow is normal, the patient avoids an invasive procedure entirely.
Yeah, so HeartFlow is a really cool new technology. So it's a non-invasive technology that uses those CT scan images and it extrapolates blood flow from the narrowing in those blood vessels. So in essence, it gives the doctor the same information that they would otherwise need to get from the cath lab at doing that minor surgical procedure. And now we get that information non-invasively from the CT scan images themselves. So it really is a one-stop shop for assessment of the coronary arteries and risk of heart disease and strokes.
For patients, this means faster answers and better care with less risk.
It's beneficial for the patients in many ways. First of all, it's non-invasive. So a cath lab is a minor surgical procedure, and patients have to come into the hospital for a day surgery, and they have to have a puncture in their groin vessels or in their arm vessels, and they have to have dye and have pictures of their heart taken under radiation. And so, these procedures are performed every day throughout the country. They're extremely safe, but there's still a very small risk of complications such as bleeding or stroke. And of course, no one wants to undergo an invasive procedure if they don't have to. So in up to 30% of patients, heart flow analysis avoids that patient from having to undergo that invasive angio procedure. Also, because the heart flow is applied when the patient had their CAT scan, they get the answer, the diagnosis, within a few minutes to a few hours, rather than having to wait weeks or days for the catheter procedure to occur. So they get an answer immediately. And because they get that answer right away, they can potentially get started on treatment and medications right after their CT scan with heart flow, rather than having to wait until after the results of the cath lab. Furthermore, there's less, obviously, radiation and contrast dye exposure because they're only getting a CT scan. They're not getting an angio procedure in the cath lab, so they avoid radiation and contrast dye. This is especially useful in some elderly patients or other patients who have diabetes and kidney disease, where the risk of kidney malfunction is higher with repeated contrast dye exposure. So in those patients, this test is very useful because we don't have to give the patients contrast dye twice.
This technology is also a game changer for healthcare providers and the healthcare system.
This is really, really an amazing tool from the healthcare efficiency perspective. The fact that the heart flow triages the right patients to go onwards to cath lab is really important because it reduces hospital admissions and procedure backlogs in the cath lab. There's, we have long wait lists everywhere in our healthcare system. So by triaging the right patient to undergo the right test, this saves time and, of course, avoids patients from having to undergo these unnecessary procedures. Therefore, the time in the cath lab can be directed to patients who actually need to be there. It's also leads to better outcomes because of timely treatment for those who need it. And for those who don't need the procedure, heart flow provides the reassurance that their blood flow is not reduced and is not significant, and therefore they don't need to go on to further testing.
Heart flow is now fully operational at KHSC.
So far, so good. We plan on collecting data from all the patients who undergo cardiac CT and heart flow analysis. We expect approximately 100 patients over the next 12 months to undergo the heart flow analysis. So we'll have a lot more information, coming up in the next year.
Teams at KHSC will be studying the technology's effectiveness in Canadian patients, with the goal of publishing their findings and inspiring adoption in hospitals across the country.
This technology, although it is new, it is a game changer. It works. It's been validated across multiple centers in the United States and Europe. We are fortunate to be the first site in Canada, all of Canada, to be using it. But we do hope that our use provides recognition and is newsworthy enough so that government officials, including Ministry of Health in Ontario, take notice and realize the value in, not just for individual patients, but for the healthcare system in implementation of this technology broadly across all sites in Ontario. We do feel that there's a big role for artificial intelligence in the healthcare system to work alongside the physicians, administrators, and the staff to increase efficiencies, provide more accurate diagnosis, faster diagnosis, and improve the quality of care. We see AI as a tool that augments the care that we can provide to our patients.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your weather and traffic report for this evening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, August 25th, we're going to see a daytime high of 23 degrees with a mix of sun and rain, an 80% chance of precipitation. No humidity in the forecast, however, so rain aside, should be a lovely day. Tuesday, August 26th, daytime high of 20 degrees with a 55% chance of precipitation in the region. Wednesday, August 27th, daytime high of 19 degrees and a beautiful mix of sun and cloud, feeling closer to 20 degrees, a beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Thursday, August 28th, daytime high of 22 degrees with periods of cloud throughout the day. Otherwise, it's going to be quite sunny. There is a 59% chance of precipitation in the forecast, however. Friday, August 29th, daytime high of 21, beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston. Saturday, August 30th, daytime high of 22 with a mix of sun and cloud in the forecast. Sunday, August 31st, 23 degrees, sunny and beautiful. And then moving into the start of September, Monday, September 1st, daytime high of 24, feeling closer to 25 with a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Bath Road will be closed to motorists and pedestrians between Centennial Drive and Portsmouth Avenue from 6 a.m. on Tuesday, August 26th until 6 a.m. on Saturday, August 30th. This closure is required for CN Railway to complete repair work on the Bath Road rail crossing safely and as quickly as possible. Local access will be open to residents and businesses at Armstrong and Queen Mary Roads, with no through vehicle or pedestrian traffic beyond those locations. Detours for motorists and Kingston Transit will be in place during this time as well. Express 701 and 702 and Route 11 will follow temporary detours via Centennial, Taylor Kidd, Princess, and Portsmouth. Some stops on Bath, Armstrong, and Kingsdale will be out of service. Riders can board at temporary stops or use alternate routes. Delays are expected. The city thanks all affected residents, businesses, pedestrians, motorists, and transit passengers for their patience and understanding during the temporary road closure. Here are this week's relevant road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cataraqui Woods Drive, Rosanna to Holden is closed until August 28th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for roundabout upgrades. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Middle Road, Joyceville to Highway 2 is closed until August 22nd from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day to complete culvert relining. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch is closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson. Expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners. Expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, San Beta Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead struction. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, limestone to jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. And Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Now coming up, we'll look at some great community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Monday, it's Mental Health Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. at 218 Concession Street. You can participate in a free weekly workshop hosted by the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest, focused on improving mental health, building skills, and strengthening relationships. Space is limited, so make sure to register. On Tuesday, Salsa in the Square runs from 6:30 to 10 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Kick things off with beginner Latin dance lessons, then enjoy line dancing with La Vida and friends. At 8 p.m., the open dance floor begins with salsa, bachata, merengue, and reggaeton. It's free and open to all ages. On Wednesday, the Broom Factory hosts the Puppet Motion Lab from noon to 5 p.m. Learn how to create your own stop-motion film using paper puppets with instructor Olive Autumn. Tickets are $25, and while the event is open to all ages, it's especially geared towards kids. Later that evening, Games in the Square brings oversized board games to Springer Market Square from 6 to 8 p.m. Drop in for Snakes and Ladders, Connect Four, Chess, Cornhole, and more. It's free and open to all ages. On Thursday, Stories in the Square begins at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater. Enjoy stories, songs, and fun with the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. If the weather turns bad, the event moves inside to the Central Branch. In the evening, Life Drawing runs at Art Noise from 6 to 8 p.m., offering a relaxed space to practice sketching with a live model for just $10. Also on Thursday, the Collage Club with Tet Artist in Residence, Ro Grant, runs from 6 to 9:30 p.m. This 19-plus social event encourages adults to spark creativity and connect with others through the playful art of collage. It's offered by donation or pay what you can. And at dusk, Movies in the Square presents The Wild Robot in Springer Market Square. Bring your own lawn chair and enjoy this free outdoor film under the stars. On Friday, free line and square dancing returns to Springer Market Square at 6 p.m. with lessons led by expert instructors. All ages are welcome and no experience is needed. Later, head to the Loaf and Ale from 7 to 11 p.m. for music trivia with Terry. Test your music knowledge, enjoy some drinks, and have a fun night out with friends. On Saturday, the Lavina Gender Advocacy Center presents a free screening of The Switch at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library's Central Branch. The event runs from 2:30 to 5 p.m. with doors at 2. You'll see the first two episodes of this groundbreaking sitcom, followed by a virtual Q&A with creator Amy Fox. Finally, on Sunday, Yoga in the Park runs from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. Join downtown instructors for a free outdoor yoga session by the waterfront. Just bring your mat and enjoy the summer vibes. Have a local event that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hey folks, I'm Ellie Sturton, and coming up are your live music events happening around town this week. On Monday, the Morning Doves bring their funky jazz trio to Musiki Cafe from 8 to 11 p.m. Also from 6 to 8 p.m., the Gender Diverse Song Circle invites gender diverse folks and allies to share joy through singing, humming, or simply listening. All voices are welcome, and the location is to be announced. On Tuesday, join Indigenous Drumming at Trellis HIV and Community Care from 1 to 3 p.m. This free, all-ages event is open to everyone to connect through rhythm and culture. Later in the evening, the Toucan hosts Tuesdays Unplugged from 7 to 10 p.m., featuring traditional Irish music with fiddles, flutes, and bodhrants. On Wednesday, Quinton Cawtree performs at the Bank Gastro Bar from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., with a mix of folk, rock, country, and blues. At the Creekside Bar and Grill, Christopher Jackson plays a family-friendly set of folk, rock, and roots from 6 to 8 p.m. And Swingin' Summer continues at Springer Market Square from 7 to 8 p.m. with the Cranberry Dixieland Band in a free outdoor concert of joyful classic jazz. On Thursday, Graham Nicholas takes the stage at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. with thoughtful, roots-inspired songs.
Over at the RCHA, Beats Workin' plays from 7 to 10 p.m. with jazz favorites and Sicilian songs for just a $5 cover. The Red Hot and Blue Rockabilly Weekend kicks off at St. John's United Church with Gene Tro and Nicholas Campbell, plus a lively record hop. Doors open at 7:30 and tickets range from $30 to $150. And at Hotel Wolf Island, Sedan Delivery perform from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. with their Neil Young tribute set. On Friday, Hotel Wolf Island hosts Bessé and Eric Mason from 3 to 5 p.m. with a multilingual showcase blending French, Arabic, Portuguese, Nigerian dialect, and Spanish influences. At Time Out Bar and Bistro, Chris Morris plays roots and folk songs at 3 p.m., followed by Purple Diamonds at 6 p.m. with their mix of rock and indie. The Toucan features Kira with heartfelt pop and indie songs from 5 to 8 p.m. and the Ottawa Trio Double Barrel keeps the night going from 10:30 to 2 a.m. Over at the Broom Factory, She Bad performs at 7 p.m. with support from Nice On. Tickets are just over $28. Also on Friday, in Springer Market Square, Emily Steele and The Deal play as part of Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m. The Red Hot and Blue Rockabilly Weekend continues from 7:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. at St. John's United Church, with bands like Three for a Buck, Hellbent Rockers, and Little Rachel. Eddie and the Dirty Boys headline the Hayloft Dance Hall with Maple Drive and Lake Porter starting at 8:30 p.m. Tickets for that one are $40. On Saturday, Red Hot and Blue Rockabilly Weekend brings the party to St. Lawrence Park from 10 to 4 p.m. with live music, jive sessions, and a vintage market. Saturday sessions return to Confederation Park from 11:30 to 3:30 p.m. with free performances by Irish Roots, The Killdeers, and Who's Here. At Hotel Wolf Island, Toronto DJ Sad Stab spins an all-vinyl set from 3 to 5 p.m. Les Deux debut at Time Out Bar and Bistro from 4 to 6 p.m., while at the same time, Nate Zan plays Juniper Cafe. And also on Saturday, the Three Amigos perform a free show at the Creekside Bar and Grill from 4 to 7 p.m. Back at St. John's United Church, the Rockabilly Weekend continues at 7:30 p.m. with Johnny Gunner, the Slow Gin Fizz, Shook Boys, and Record Hop. Folks can see pianists Bob Wiseman and Mike Boguski play Hotel Wolf Island from 8 to 10 p.m. Or see DJ LK at Musiki Cafe with an all-vinyl dance set from 8 to 11 p.m. On Sunday, Live Music Sundays wraps up at Finkel's Shore Park from 2 to 5 p.m. with Mary Kennedy, Dave McGrath, and Scotty and the Naughties. The Red Hot and Blue Rockabilly Surfin' Cruise sails from 3:45 to 6 p.m. on the Thousand Island and Seaway Cruises, boarding in Brockville. Then at 7 p.m., the Shooting Star Music Series launches at Legion Branch 160 in Wellington, with Nicholas Campbell and David James Allen. The Rockabilly Weekend continues at 7:30 p.m. at St. John's United Church in Brockville with Shakedown Combo and Peter and the Wolves. You can see Ottawa's Post with Radio Wasteland and others at the Mansion starting at 7:30 p.m. for a $15 ticket. And finally, Mr. Christie closes out the weekend at Musiki from 8 to 11 p.m. with Indie Rock Originals. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.